Friend has cancer which spread to her brain. How can Shield MZ help? And does this get through the blood-brain barrier?
All right, so there are a couple different questions. First, let me talk about the blood-brain barrier, okay? So the answer to does the zeolite cross the blood-brain barrier, the answer is I don't know. We did want to do it. I believe it probably does based on charges and size and things like that and having an understanding of the blood-brain barrier. But I actually, years ago, when I had this product with another company, I proposed a rat model. And I wanted to do an EAE rat model, experimental acute encephalomyelitis, which is a rat with neurologic deficit, because people with neurologic problems have leakier blood-brain membranes than people without neurologic problems. So I wanted to see if there was a difference, if it would cross, maybe not cross healthy patients, but would cross patients that had issues. And there was a protest because I was going to, quote unquote, hurt poor rats, you know? So I couldn't do the study because I was going to hurt a rat. If anyone is a rat activist, I apologize, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, rats were responsible for the bubonic plague and we still owe them. And the worst part of that conference call where they were protesting is someone says, instead of rats, you should use prisoners. I said, okay, I got to stop this call right now. So we never did that study, but the second part of that answer is it really doesn't matter if the zeolite crosses the blood-brain barrier. If you understand the activity of zeolite, it's not a chemical activity. There's no chemical activity. It doesn't rip toxins out of things. It simply floats along your blood in the lymph, and when it comes near a toxin that has an affinity for it, it gets pulled in and absorbed and trapped. What happens over time as you continue to use the product, you start cleaning out your blood in your lymph of all these circulating toxins. That creates something called a concentration gradient. It's almost like a vacuum, where you have no toxin in the blood and lymph, but all this these toxins trapped or sequestered in tissue. When that happens to basically maintain homeostasis, the body will release those toxins from the tissue. And it'll do it nice and steadily and release those toxins from tissue into circulation as part of what's known as Le Chatelier's principle. It's part of homeostasis. Everything wants to be in balance, you know? And so as you continue to take the zeolite and continue to clean out the blood and the lymph, the tissue will consistently start to release those toxins, including the brain. And we have measured an increase in aluminum excretion in Alzheimer's patients, and we know that aluminum is trapped in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. It's not a causative agent of Alzheimer's. It's certainly part of the etiology of Alzheimer's. So when we saw that, we knew that we were really getting into the brain or getting toxins out of the brain because we were pulling this aluminum out at very high quantities from these Alzheimer's patients. So it really doesn't matter if it gets into the brain or not. It's going to have the effect by pulling the toxins out regardless. Okay. The second thing is about cancer. Now, while I can't make any claim as the specific treatment of any disease or symptom of disease, there are three publications that specifically look at this zeolite and the potential treatment of cancer. And the mechanism is fascinating. You know, you got to think of it this way. My zeolite does not get into cells, doesn't get into healthy cells. 99.9% of the activity of the zeolite is extracellular. The cell membranes, the bilipid, phospholipid cell membranes are far too strong and the foci are far too small for zeolite to get through and into a healthy cell. So it does all of its work in the blood and the lymph floating around in an extracellular manner. But cells that are under viral attacks have leaky membranes, and we've seen the zeolite been taken up in the cells under viral attack. Cancer cells are voracious. Cancer cells need raw material to keep making copies of themselves. So cancer cells, anything that comes near a cancer cell gets sucked in through endocytosis. It sucks in everything because it needs the food. It needs the raw materials to build new cells. So imagine you have this zeolite that's floating around the body, pulling in toxins, heavy metals, a bunch of volatile organic compounds on the surface of it, and it gets pulled into this cancer cell. It's like this toxic mine, you know, like death charge going into the cell. And when that happens, it destabilizes the cell and it turns on the P51 tumor suppressor gene. So in the presence of the zeolite, P51 is activated. Once that activates, the cancer kills itself. It goes to apoptosis, programmed cell death. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's three papers that talk about the potential use of the zeolite as an adjunct to radiation chemotherapy in the treatment of cancer.
Wow.
It certainly can hurt. I will tell you this. There are some contraindications with the zeolite, principally drugs that contain heavy metals. So some of the most widely used drugs that contain heavy metals are for cancer, platinum-containing drugs like cisplatin and carboplatin. So I do warn people that if there aren't a platinum-containing drug, they should discontinue using zeolite at least 2 or 3 days before they go on chemo, and don't use it again until at least 2 or 3 days after their chemotherapy. Because the zeolite will pull the platinum and actually invalidate the chemo.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Great to know.
Where can we find information like this? You know, for example, you know, I mean, is it going to be on the website or how, you know, because there's going to be questions.
I wrote a white paper, a monograph that basically goes over from soup to nuts, all everything I'm talking about now. What is the zeolite? Where does it come from? And it's got in the back, I think 56 or 57 references. Okay. So not only do you have that paper that goes over a lot of what I'm talking about, it has the references. And if you want any of those references, I make them available. Okay. I can't just publish them on the website because of publishing rules, but if someone wants a copy of them, I can send them a copy.
I'm sure many will. Thank you. We'll get a hold of
that. There was an interesting one on cancer that Dr. I can never say his last name, Michael Eat, posted the other day. That was done, I think we said it was in 2003, Rick.
That was the Croatians. That's actually the one I'm talking about. That's where they elucidated the mechanism and measured P51.
He posted that in Gut Health the other day.
Okay. Susie Van has a question.
Hey there. My cousin has stage four kidney failure, is waiting for a kidney. And I heard the testimonial in one of the talks that it will definitely assist in, you know, cleaning out the body so that the new kidney can be received. But what can it help him do, or what can he expect if I gave it to him for his kidney failure? Can it reverse is the wrong word, but how can it help?
Part of the job of the kidney is to filter out the blood and the lymph and remove toxins, which the zeolite's doing. So one thing we've seen is improvement in kidney function and liver function in people using the zeolite. And we think that's simply because we're taking some pressure off, you know, by removing those toxins completely, we're taking some pressure off the kidneys and the liver. The other thing to consider is, don't call it chelation therapy. So the other thing we do to remove toxins from the body is chelation therapy. And principally, that compound is EDTA, which has been used since World War II. What chelation therapy is a negatively charged compound that binds heavy metals, binds minerals in the body and pulls them out. In World War II, there were a lot of people working with lead batteries, lead paint when they were painting boats. So there was a lot of lead poisoning in World War II. So he started chelating with EDTA. And EDTA is a really cool molecule. If you saw the molecule itself, it looks like a hand. And each part of the hand has a slight negative charge. Altogether, it's -2. So you got this lead atom. It goes like this. Lead is +2. The EDTA is -2, and it grabs the lead. And once it grabs it, now you have a neutral compound, what they call transformed, and you can urinate it out. The problem is that EDTA goes over after everything with a +2 charge. So it goes after lead, but also takes out calcium, magnesium. And whenever you chelate with something like EDTA, they're constantly adding back calcium, magnesium to make up for the stuff you're losing from the EDTA chelation. The other issue, and the reason I brought this up, is because you need grams of this intravenously, which can build up in the kidneys and actually hurt the kidney. So if you have kidney issues, you can't do regular chelation therapy, all right, because you have it can damage the kidneys or further damage the kidneys. Not so with the zeolite. The zeolite doesn't have that huge quantity. It doesn't get stored. It doesn't crystallize in the kidneys. So if you talk to the average endocrinologist and you say you're using a chelator or you're trying to take out heavy metals, he'll warn you not to because he's thinking you're using like intravenous EDTA. And that's not the case. This is perfectly safe for people with kidney issues. Even if you're on dialysis, the one warning I have with people on dialysis is when you're using the product, you really need to drink plenty of water, you know, at least 6 to 8 glasses of water a day. People on dialysis are measured in how much fluid they can take in, so they can't take enough fluid to really maximize the benefit. So I would have them use a lower dose. It is easily dialyzed out, so it will be removed through dialysis as they clean everything out, but they would just take a lower because they can't drink enough fluid. They can't drink enough water. Otherwise, if they're not on dialysis, they could use it normally, drink plenty of water, and over time they're going to have an improvement in kidney function.
That's incredible information. Thank you. And if you were to personally recommend a dose for someone on dialysis, what would it be?
That's tricky because it really depends. There's a lot it depends on. Remember, so anyone who comes to me and says, I couldn't take your product because I had side effects. Well, what are the side effects? I got a headache. Well, that's dehydration. My muscles cramped up. That's dehydration. I had lower back pain associated with kidney pain. That's dehydration, you know? And the dehydration is kind of interesting because it sounds silly, but those heavy metals are being pulled out. Even though they're bad for you, they're still considered to be electrolytes because they're charged particles in the bloodstream. And so you're losing bad electrolytes, but you're losing electrolytes. And so you need to replenish the water and really over time replenish electrolytes. Make sure you're getting some calcium, magnesium. I even say if drink a sports drink, like a sugar-free sports drink, once or twice a week, try and get those electrolytes back in because you're not removing the good electrolytes, but even removing the bad ones can change the charge balance in the bloodstream, you know? And then someone actually asked me that too. I'll just throw that in really quick. I did say before that the smaller the metal, the higher the charge, the greater the affinity for the zeolite. Well, it just so happens, and this is just nature, God's own creation, that everything that's bad for us is small and highly charged, and everything that's good for us tends to be bigger with a lower charge. So mercury, lead, cadmium, arsenic, tin, bismuth, aluminum, antimony are small, highly charged metals. And calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, sodium, potassium, even the micronutrients like copper and manganese tend to be larger with a lower charge. And so the zeolite is really, really good at taking out the bad stuff and leaves the good stuff alone. And that's been proven in lots and lots of clinical studies.
So good. So good. Thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Shannon Wallen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. I love you. That's so much information. And I love how you deliver all of it. It's so easy to understand. And I just appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. So my question is, I have a 10-year-old. Oh, he just turned 11. Oh, my gosh. I have an 11-year-old with autism and ADHD. How do I dose him? What do I do? You know.
It's long been thought that heavy metals have something to do with the autism spectrum disorders. We believe that it could be inhibition of some metalloenzymes and metalloproteins that change metabolism and affect neurologically. In fact, chelation therapy has been, the Doctors Autism Network, Dan, has been recommending chelation therapy for 20 years, you know? So we do believe that we have good effects on autism. I did a study, I think it was about 2008, at the Arizona State University with Dr. Jim Adams, and we had 63 autistic kids that we gave the product to, and we did blood work as well as urinary analysis of heavy metal excretion, and we did see a great increase in heavy metal excretion. We did see some great results with those kids, and we never published a study because there were some IRB issues at Arizona State, but I do have the I did a call with Dr. Adams, and I have the transcript of that call, and I make that available if anybody wants it. So it's just kind of like what we talked about back and forth. And we had a basic protocol. I think by the time the kids were 11, they were on the regular dose, which in this case would be 10 drops twice a day. But we did have lower doses for younger kids. But I will tell you this. We do know all of us are exposed to heavy metals every day, and all of us excrete heavy metals every day. The problem is some of us are good excreters and some of us are poor excreters. And the poor excreters tend to have more health problems because they're holding on to more of these heavy metals. The great majority of people that take this product are not going to have an issue. You know, drink plenty of water, take the product, they're not going to have an issue. But there are people that are incredibly toxic. And when the metals start to come out, they can come out pretty quickly. And we see things that are usually equated with other detox modalities, like people take diuretics and laxatives, where they have a dumping crisis or a wasting crisis. Basically, the concept is all these metals are coming out at once, and it can be uncomfortable. Flu-like symptoms, fatigue, muscle aches, GI distress. So in my experience with this product, and we've sold millions and millions and millions of doses over the years, you have two choices when that happens. The first choice is keep taking it, keep taking a lot of it, drink plenty of water and get through it. And it'll clean out your system and it'll be a few weeks of being actually do is they lower their dose dramatically. They'll put a couple of drops in a bottle of water and drink the bottle of water throughout the day, and they'll increase that dose over time, where it might take them even a few months to get up to the maintenance dose of 10 drops twice a day, okay? The worst possible thing you can do is stop taking the product. So if you have that experience where you start feeling ill or something for the product, what that means that all these toxins are now in circulation, and the worst thing you can do is stop taking the product. You want to keep taking the product to start pulling that stuff out as quickly as possible. All right. So you got to keep taking the product and drink plenty of water. All right.
Mary Margaret.
Thank you so much, Rick. I have a couple of questions. One is a couple of the people that have been taking the product, they've noticed a couple of things. One, they are urinating more, but whenever their urine comes out, it's almost got like a foamy bubbles on the top. Is that the detox from the Shield MZ?
I'm not familiar with that. You know, it could be other stuff from their diet. You know, when you see a bubbling, it's usually a bicarbonate effect. So if they're taking alkaline water, for example, or something like that, that's what we'd see. It could be just the water in their house if they have water softeners or things like that. So we haven't analyzed, you know, bubbles in the urine. We haven't seen that. And for the most part, we're not looking for things coming out as far as anything that's visible, because these heavy metals are, you know, they're microscopic. So we capture them, and we do atomic absorption spectroscopy and intercouple plasma mass spectroscopy, ICP-MS, to measure those heavy metals. But yeah, we haven't seen that in particular. You know?
Okay. The other question is, I have a friend who has several tumors on his liver, and so he's going to start taking the product along with some other things, but is that something that he would take several times throughout the day, or just the regular 10 drops four times a day in the beginning?
Let me talk about dosing. So the recommended dose is 10 drops twice a day, and the bottle has about a 40-day supply. So a bottle should, or the maintenance dose, last you at least 30 days. Okay, there's a little overage in there for people who miscount, you know. I can't stand when someone says, you shorted me of my bottle. So we just make sure we put extra in there, you know? So we do recommend that everyone start on what we call the detox dose, which is 10 drops four times a day. And we do this for a couple of reasons. First, none of the zeolite stays in the body. This is not like a supplement that the vitamin store or the mineral store. We've done radiolabeled study with the zeolite. We've radiolabeled with technetium and with Bodipi. And where we measure where the zeolite goes after you take it. I was one of the guys laying on a table for 20 hours, taking the product consistently, using machines to see where does it go in my body, where does it come out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So no zeolite is deposited or stays in the body at all. It's 100% excreted. Usually within 4 to 6 hours, depending on your activity, how much you eat and drink, and how often you go to the bathroom. This is one of the reasons that we recommend taking it several times throughout the day, because you want it in constant circulation as much as possible. Okay. So we do recommend 10 drops four times a day as a detox dose for the first month. Then the maintenance dose is 10 drops twice a day. And then we recommend repeating the detox dose every 6 to 12 months. Cause as the toxins start to come out again and come out again, do another cleanse. Now the questions are, is there an upper dose or a lower dose? There's no lower dose. Anything you take is going to be beneficial. Okay, so if you get this, it's going to be beneficial. As far as an upper dose, this is passively absorbed in the digestive tract, which means it'll never be absorbed against the concentration gradient. And so just think of this. Think, when things are in the digestive tract, for all practical purposes, they're not even in your body. They're still considered to be outside your body. It's got to get through the intima of the digestive tract into the bloodstream to go in circulation and do something. So if you think of that wall, the intestinal wall, once you start to absorb stuff across the wall through passive absorption, some will get across, but once there's an even amount on both sides, it's not going to get across. Okay? And that's passive absorption against a concentration gradient. Now, there's such a thing called active absorption, which is where you expend energy to pull things from the digestive tract into the bloodstream. The chelated minerals, many proteins are actively absorbed and can be absorbed against a concentration gradient. But the reason I'm going into all of this is because we've found over the years that once you take more than about 15 drops at a time, you have less absorption as a function of percent. So we're telling people, if you want the most bang for your buck, don't take more than 15 drops at a time. Okay. If you do, a lot of that will stay in the digestive tract. It'll still be a digestive cleanser, which is nice, but it's not going to be a systemic detoxifier. Okay. So when people are maximizing out, they usually take 10 to 15 drops like every hour on the hour and drink plenty of water. That's like a big, big dose. And I've seen people do that, especially people that have some disease states where they really want to maximize their detox. But you're going to go through the product relatively quickly. But that's where you're maximizing your dose and getting as much out as possible.
Thank you. Okay, we got one more question, including, and then mine. Pregnant nursing or nursing women, we always get that question.
All right, so we can't, it's just under legal things, we have to say if you have a diagnosed medical condition, if you're on any medication, or if you're pregnant or nursing, and pregnancy is considered a medical condition, consult your physician before using any dietary supplement. Well, that being said, this is a natural product. It's been in use for over 800 years. It's generally recognized as safe. There's really no problem for pregnant nursing women. We did a small study. I couldn't get an IRB approval, Internal Review Board approval, to get women that were actively breastfeeding. But we did through, and it cost money. We had to pay these people. We did get women who were done breastfeeding their babies, but still expressing milk. We got them to continue pumping so we could measure their breast milk and heavy metals of altered organic compounds in their breast milk with and without the zeolite. Okay. And we did find, some compounds, we did find heavy metals, especially volatile organic compounds, phthalates, furans, dioxin in breast milk of women that were breastfeeding. And when they took the zeolite, most of the compounds were gone. They were out of it.
Wow.
We did actually recapture some zeolite in the breast milk, but it was very little. It was a fraction of what they were ingesting. The zeolite primarily is expended through fecal matter if it stays in the digestive tract and through urine if it gets in circulation. But it was interesting what we saw. It was enough information to say that it's probably a good idea for a nursing mother to use it.
Got it. Thank you. Great information. Angela, good morning.
I was just wondering if there are any metals that our body needs that are taken out, like maybe iodine or manganese or cobalt or zinc. I don't think they are, but I just wanted to hear you say they're not.
No, it's a great question. And that's a question that people have been asking for many years because, and it's mostly because of its use in feed animals. So zeolite's been used in agriculture. Clenoptilla has been used for over 60 years in animal feed. Principally to prevent aflatoxicosis, which is liver damage from aspergillus. And aspergillus is found in a lot of animal feed. So they said, okay, we're giving it to these animals are healthier, but at some point, is it going to start pulling out good stuff? Like calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium. You mentioned iodine. Iodine's not a metal. It's actually negatively charged. It's a halide, but certainly it doesn't pull out iodine. But any counter ions that could affect the absorption of some halides or some of those compounds. And so they did a huge study. It was a giant study with ruminants, goats, cows, and sheep. And all of them got their normal animal feed, half got the zeolite and half didn't. And they thought they would see lower nutritive value in the animals that were getting the zeolite because it would be pulling that stuff out. And the exact opposite was true. The animals that were fed the zeolite had higher nutritive status than the ones that didn't. And they say, well, we're not giving them supplements. Why do they have higher nutrient value? And the key answer, you're going to hear this a lot from me. The key word is competition. The heavy metals compete for absorption with the good metals. As you take those heavy metals away, you get better absorption of the good stuff and better utilization of the good stuff. And so this actually becomes a nutritional enabler. So not only does this take toxins and heavy metals out of your body, but it makes all your other supplements work better because it removes that competition and lets you get better absorption of everything else.
Brilliant. Really amazing.
Wow.
Thank you. Shannon.
I had another question because Laura posted it, and I have a friend of mine who has macular degeneration. Yeah. Is there something that can help with this?
So HLA macular degeneration is primarily oxidative. It's oxidative stress. So there's lots and lots of things they have now for HLA macular degeneration. If you ever saw the ARED study, A-R-E-D, age-related eye disease study, it was a seminal study. And it's what I hated because it was a 10-year study. And when they were first putting the study together, I was working with some ophthalmologists. And we said antioxidants help eyesight. Antioxidants help vision, antioxidants prevent macular degeneration. And there were a lot of physicians that said, that's ridiculous. It's just part of aging, it's what happens. So they put the study together and they planned the study to fail. It's one of the studies that they were putting the study together to basically shut guys like me up, you know? So the formula they put together was a ridiculously simple formula. It had a few antioxidants in it, but it ignored things like, we knew lutein prevented macular degeneration, had clinical study. We wanted to put lutein in it. They didn't put lutein in it. We knew that zinc helped. They didn't put zinc in it, you know? So it was really a study that was planned to fail. After 10 years, it was like a holy crap moment. It worked. It actually worked. This terrible formula actually worked. Well, the real issue with that is because it worked, now it's standard of care, you know? And Bausch & Lomb sells it as Ocuvite. And recommended by your ophthalmologist, Ocuvite, which is a terrible formulation, but it's a formulation they used in the ARED study, this 10-year study, you know? So, but we know that antioxidants certainly help age-related macular degeneration, certainly help eyesight. What we found is really fascinating. We did a study in West Virginia coal miners, and we did it because we wanted a population that really we knew were toxic. You're working in a coal mine, you're getting heavy metals, you're getting toxins, okay? And so we measured, we had them use the product. This was a peer review. This was a placebo-controlled trial. So half got placebo and half got the zeolite. We had them take 30 drops a day. And then we measured urinary excretion of heavy metals. We also had them shave their chest at the beginning of the trial so we could measure heavy metals in their chest hair before and after the three-month study. Okay. And we chose the chest hair because hair in the head was also exposed to the environment. So we didn't know where the metals were coming from. And the joke is that, you know, you choosing chest hair, we eliminated most women from the study. So, so we saw in that study as much as a 15-fold increase in heavy metal excretion. But we also asked them to fill out a questionnaire of how they felt. And this is fascinating. Across the board, the patients on the product said they had more energy during the day. They were sleeping better at night. They had better cognitive function. It was like a fog had lifted off their brain, which I thought was fascinating. And they all reported better visual acuity. Their eyesight improved, especially night vision and glare recovery. So I'm a mechanism guy. So I went, I said, how is that possible? So we did a little bit of a deep dive, and it goes right back to the liver. If we're taking pressure off the liver, and we see an improvement in liver enzymes, improvement in liver functions, one of the jobs of the liver is to produce something called glutathione. Glutathione is a principal antioxidant in the eye and improves eye health. So this is one of the reasons when you have liver problems, you can see it in the eye. You see yellowing of the eyes and things like that. The healthier the liver, the healthier the eyes. And so that's how we feel is what's happening there. The other thing I want to point out, and people ask me how to take the product, can I put it in my food or my water? Can I put it in my mouth? We told these coal miners, you can take the product any way you want. But we want you to be consistent in the way you take it and tell us how you took it. So a lot of them just put it in their mouth. That's the way I take it. Some added to their food, their water. One guy had mashed potatoes every day. He put it in his mashed potatoes. One guy had a glass of scotch every night. He put it in his glass of scotch. And it didn't matter how they took it, they got the same benefit. As long as they got it in their bodies, they got the same benefit. So that was fascinating to me as well.
Oh, it's amazing. Wow. Everyone wants to go off and get this in them right now, right? I'm like, you know, I've been holding back to tell you the truth, and I'm like, okay, one more thing, but this is the one thing that I feel like I shouldn't be living without at all. So thank you so much. This was
I can tell you, we're all toxic. We know we're all toxic. When I first started giving these lectures, that was my first barrier. I had to convince people that they had toxins in their body. I actually gave this lecture in North Dakota, and there was a farmer I was arguing with. He's telling me, I live in a pristine environment. You know, there's no toxin around here. As he's telling me this, there was a crop duster in the field behind him. So I said, listen, we have toxins all around us all the time. You have toxins nearby. There's no pristine place left on earth. So that's not an argument these days. I think people have just the knowledge has come out. We know we live in a toxic environment. And there should be something we can do about it. Okay. So basically, this is a product that everybody needs. When they learn about it, everybody wants it. And now this is the only place to get it.
Yeah. We're blessed. Thank you.
So good.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up. We do have one more question from Mary, if we can just wrap it up because we've got calls. But go ahead, Mary.
Yes. I just wanted to know, is it beneficial and is it okay for people to put it in their eye?
Okay, so legally, we can't recommend people doing it any way other than just getting in their mouth and swallowing it and being absorbed. But lots of people put it in their ears, put it in their eyes. My wife puts it in her eyes. Remember, it's a colloidal suspension. So in the eye, it will feel a little gritty. It's also a slightly acidic pH, even though it's an alkalizer. So it will feel a little burny, not badly. For people, I recommend putting it in their eyes. I would say don't shake it up, you know, because if you shake it up, you get a full range of the micron and submicron zeolite. But if you let it set a little bit and use the stuff that's not so foggy, then you're getting the smaller particles, and you can use that in the eye. I will tell you this, that the reason this all started and people are talking about the eyes is because in 2005, I got a frantic call at 4 a.m. at my house, my home phone, and it was a guy yelling at me in Japanese. And I speak very little Japanese. So I was like, slow down, mochiron, repeat, you know. So he finally started talking to me. He was a cancer doctor from the Tokyo Holistic Cancer Center. And he had a patient that had cancer in his eye. He had a retinal blastoma, which is almost universally fatal, because by the time it gets detected, it goes in the brain and kills you. And this patient put these drops in his eyes and it cured his cancer. And the guy went nuts. His cancer reverted. And I can't make any claims to that. We don't have clinical evidence of that. This guy's just yelling at me in the middle of the night. Saying we have to do studies with this cancer and these patients. And that got out. Once that got out there, everybody started putting in their eyes. I went to a meeting 2 weeks later in Hong Kong, and as I'm on stage, everyone's putting in their eyes. Like, how did this happen? Everyone just decides now they got to put it in their eye, you know? So certainly it's not going to hurt. We can't make that recommendation. But like I said, my wife has allergies. She puts it in her eyes, and she says it helps her allergies. So.
Thank you. This has been amazing.
Neil,
do you want to wrap that up for us?
I just wanted to say a couple of things. Number one, thanks, Rick, for taking the time. We always appreciate that. In order to keep Rick's time, as you know, he's willing to answer questions all the time. He usually does it through myself or Chip Littlejohn. You know, if you guys need to contact us, Enrique and Nancy know my phone number, just text me. We are always available to answer questions and help. If I can't get the answer, the good news is Rick usually answers me back in about 5 minutes. So we'll get you your answers, whatever you need. And the other thing is that every Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern time, Robin has what we call our family call, which is a testimonial call, only testimonial. And we do a lot of, obviously, most of it is going to be on this product, but we also do other testimonials. So if you have testimonials, come on and give them. Because we use these with our people who are looking at the business. These are incredible. Plus, people learn that there is hope for what they have. Oh my God, that helped that thing. Let's go use it. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you for the time.
Yes, thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Rick. We really appreciate you. We learned a lot about this Zeolite product, and I can't wait to hear the testimonies from our team and our customers as well. Thank you so much.
And ourselves. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have an amazing Monday. Let's go share the good news.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Have a great day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.